Daryl Ryder joins us right now. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, you got to say something good about the Guardians before you take it away about the Browns. That's our rule with the callers today.
Okay, that's a great rule.
It's a Lima classic. That's an old Lima trick, and I thought it was very apropos today. The Guardians deserve all the good talk we could find. So if you had something to say about the Browns, someone's got to say something good about the Guardians before they go off about the Browns.
I owe the Guardians an apology for mocking the acquisition of Lane Thomas at the trade deadline. He turned out to be one of two MVPs in the ALDS, along with Stephen Kwan. So my apologies for mocking said move. Glad you're here, Lane. Keep it up.
Well, so I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way. I had a guy send me an email about how bad this trade was.
Right.
And at first I was like, let's see where it goes. And then it got really bad. And I was like, you know what? You're right. This is terrible. And he just sent me an email yesterday. Hey, man, we were all wrong about this. This is great. This is why this front office is this front office. I go, yeah, man, you're right. You are totally 100% right. It's, you know, you always get another chance in baseball, but the front office did a good job. And Lane Thomas, he never has to pay for a drink again.
Nope. I mean, that grand slam was, I was shocked. I know he had homered earlier in the series, but I was shocked when it happened. But when he hit, I was like, yep, okay, that's going to be it for Detroit. Once that happened, I had no doubts that they were going to finish that game off and, move on to the ALCS. Should be a great series between the Guardians and the Yankees. In no way, shape, or form can I even consider with a clear conscience to pick the Yankees to win the series. I have to pick the Guards just on principle alone.
Yes.
Even if it may not happen. By the way, how's Mitch doing this morning?
I'm trying to avoid it. It's an elephant in the room that I'm trying to. Because I honestly think I'm going to actually get really personal with him, and I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's really going to be riding the fence this week. So it's going to be tough on the guy.
Will he, or will he just be secretly rooting for the Yankees all the time?
If he wants to, then just come out and be an out-and-out Yankee
fan. He brought in a Cleveland Guardians cap today.
I respect him more, and now you're going to get me to do it, because I'm talking about disrespecting the young man. I would rather him come out and be full-blown heel and say he's a Yankee fan. I would respect him more than this charade of, I like both teams. You can't like both teams. It's dumb.
I mean, LeBron James showed
spineless
up to the ballpark wearing a Yankee hat.
Yeah. He's been ripped for it ever since, but
right,
he still did
but
it.
Hey, you know, you get sometimes you just got to own it, right?
And Mitch is the new Cleveland LeBron James. He's taking over. He's taking the mantle for him.
Anyway.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
It's the first
thing. Same comparison.
Well, unless Mitch
should
hangs,
see the millions of dollars of business they do downtown now that Mitch is on this show.
Unless Mitch hangs drywall at a school. That's the only other comparison you could ever make with LeBron James, for those who have listened for a long time. All right, Daryl, it's time. Get your hammer out.
For
Let's
what?
Go. Let him have it, baby. I know you want to do it.
No, actually, I don't. I mean, it isn't even worth it anymore. It's that bad. And I don't know what the fix is. This is I mentioned this on the podcast, Ken, yesterday with Andy Baskin. I have a solution. I'm one of those people, like, if I have a complaint, I'm going to complain, but at least I'll offer a solution, right? After watching six weeks...
We know what the solution is. All know what it is, and they're not going to do it.
Correct. But and that's why I don't have a solution. But after watching this for 6 weeks and the same thing over, I don't know. Like, it is just really god-awful ugly. This is an insult to expansion offense of an expansion team. It is an insult to the 1-31 Browns, considering all the talent that they have. You might as well just trade Amari Cooper and get him out of here. He looks miserable. Him and Deshaun Watson have the chemistry of oil and water. You broke Amari. Like, Amari is the Nick Chubb of wide receivers in the NFL, and he's broke now. Like, congratulations, Deshaun. Way to go. You broke one of the most professional guys out there. I guess they ran the ball halfway decent yesterday when they tried to do it. They probably should have just ran it the whole day because you know what, and I'm not going to get caught up in the 11 of 12 for what was it, 122 yards there in the second half. I'm not going to do it.
Won't but give it, the it, guy it, his credit, Daryl? Do you have an agenda you're pushing?
I'm not. I'm not. It's the trail of cheese, okay? You're clinging. It's the Raiders 2.0 all over again. Well, you know, Deshaun wasn't terrible. He was pretty good. It's some of the best football he's ever played this season. Gotta give him his flowers for that. You know what? You didn't win the game. Bottom line. Oh, and you had 68 yards passing in the first half. No, I'm not doing it. He's terrible. He can't play anymore. The line can't block for him. The line is undisciplined both mentally and physically. It's just a complete train wreck offensively. It's unwatchable. It really is. Fans deserve better than the product they've got on the field. And I'm not interested in the talk of, well, you know, they got three AFC North opponents coming to Cleveland the next 3 weeks. Yeah, it's not going to matter. Well, the Bengals have already passed you in the standings.
Yes, and that's why, Daryl, I keep saying it's Browns prison. Like, somebody came up with an idea on the radio, like, last week or the week before, because all the losses blend together. Well, we could do what they did with Brock Osweiler. No one's taking him. No one's taking him. Yep. Nobody is taking him because they have
he
to dump salary. Nobody is
NFL.
Taking him. That is not happening. I think he'd welcome a trade at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you agree with me on that. Yeah. I think he'd love to get out of here at this point. They're booing him at home.
Miserable.
He says he doesn't care about the fans. He does care about the fans. He does see what the people say. He definitely hears them on the sidelines. That's for damn sure. I think he'd love to get out of here. It ain't happening. No other team, no other franchise. We have him or we're stuck with him, and that's it. And that's why, Daryl, like, the only way out of this, like, I'm never going to root for him to lose because that's crazy, and I have too much respect for guys like Joel Bitonio and Myles Garrett. Right. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I'm just looking at some veterans there. Jeremiah is still very, very young in his career.
Right.
But let me tell you this. Like, I got too much respect for those guys, but it's like the only way out of this is that, yeah, you know what? You get the first overall pick, and then you can have the pick of the litter of the next quarterback that you could go out there. And Lima, you and I could sit here and talk about, well, is he put in a better situation or is he put in a worse situation? Look at the cap hell there and go, it doesn't matter. The rookie's going to be better than this guy. These are historically bad numbers. The guy has no confidence in himself. He has no confidence in his teammates. He doesn't look like he likes playing the sport. The right. coaches don't look like they like coaching him. They don't like that he's out there. The post-game press conference, Daryl, you saw it with your very own eyes. He looks like he's being held hostage with the yep. quarterback, and they're going to march him out there next week because they got Nick coming back. And I'm sorry because I've totally turned this into a rant where it's your segment. Sorry, Daryl, you go. Damn it, no. I apologize.
I appreciate it because I don't have the energy to invest in being mad at these guys at this point. Like, I can't believe how bad this got. It didn't look good in training camp. Okay. And I figured that there was going to be some things to iron out early in the season. I didn't expect that this is just what the product is going to be for the season. I don't even want to hear about injuries. Okay, yes, I realize they've had some guys down on the offensive line. I realize defensively they were down a couple of safeties. They're pretty thin at linebacker these days. You know what? Injuries weren't an excuse last year. All you heard last year was next guy up, and they kept winning football games. Okay. P.J. Walker won a football game last year. Dorian Thompson-Robinson won a football game last year, okay? So I don't want to hear the injury excuse. Is it a factor? Sure. It's not why this offense is as unwatchable and incompetent as it is. Again, I said it earlier, the offensive line is undisciplined mentally. They're undisciplined physically. That's coaching, okay? You have players that looked great last year and in previous seasons, and this year they look washed. That's coaching. Deshaun, I don't know what the fix is for him. They can try and speak better play into existence all they want, but they're lying to themselves at this point. He doesn't have it anymore, and they basically lit $230 million and six draft picks on fire for a guy who we're stuck saying, well, you know, he at least completed 11 of 12 passes for 122 yards in the second half. And against the Raiders, he looked okay. But again, they can't win. He hasn't thrown for 200 yards in a game. They haven't scored 20 points in a game. The 1999 Browns scored 20 points a couple of times. The 1-31 Browns scored 20 points in games a couple of times.
Daryl, 300 yards in a game. Has he thrown over 200 yards in a game this season? He hasn't?
No, he's not.
He hasn't?
No.
I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay, never mind.
No, it's not 300. Well, he hasn't thrown for 300 yards in his Browns career here.
No, that's true. Meanwhile, I knew that.
Meanwhile, Joe Flacco's played three fewer games and has more touchdown passes than him.
Oh, my goodness. He's right. He hasn't thrown for over 200 yards in a game.
Yeah. It is unwatchable.
This is Canaan Valley. We look like freaking Canaan Valley here. This is something else. No offense to those in Canaan Valley listening on the Free Odyssey app.
Wow.
All right, Daryl, obviously you heard the coach after the game say there won't be a change of quarterback. I predicted there would be last game, but the game was so close. Myles Garrett ends
the
up...
The game was so close.
Well, that's the thing.
You actually thought they were going to win that game at any point yesterday, Lima?
Well, it's not about that, though. It's just about they needed to be down like three scores and Deshaun Watson play the exact same way he was playing, and then they would have made a change. The fact is, they didn't, and so... Now,
by the way, can we give Nick Sirianni a big shout out for just, you know, just a hell of an effort yesterday? Pump that for you. You beat the crappy Browns by 4 points. Way to go.
Well, yeah, they didn't. I mean, they were booing their team. They're not happy about that team either.
No,
but
they're not.
This gets to the root of it. Like the schedule. Look at the teams they played. I mean, Jacksonville, the Giants, this Philly team and the Cowboys. Like these teams are not good football teams. And they're losing every single time. They can't move the football. So how can Stefanski go back in the locker room now? All these teams in these predicaments always make a quarterback change. How can they not be the team that makes the quarterback change?
And how can these guys continuously say how much they believe in Deshaun and how much they believe in what they're doing? Like, if I have to hear, I just need to coach better, you know, we're going to get it cleaned up. Like, if I hear that one more time, I just want to take a ball pin hammer to my skull.
Oh, my God.
Ken, it's monotonous. They say it. They say the same thing every week.
Because he can't say, I want to bench the guy and they won't let me.
It'd be nice if he did. Every week. It would be great if he did. Like, you know, I mean, it's so monotonous right now. The same guys this week are going to talk, and they're going to say the same thing that they said the previous week. I mean, and to your point earlier, Ken, yeah, I feel bad for guys like Myles Garrett and Joel Bitonio and JOK. There's talent on this team. I feel bad for Amari Cooper. I feel bad for the receivers. Like, there's talent on this team, and you have a quarterback that is just basically a noose around your neck right now. You can't do anything with this guy. And I, again, aside from benching him, which they're not going to do because they're going to continue force feeding him to us just so they can get their $46 million a year worth out of him. And everyone, including the fans, has to suffer for
it. Well, Breer said it on Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday? He's like, he's going to start the first game of the season in 2025. I go, they won't be able to sell tickets.
Yeah.
They won't be able to sell tickets.
Well, I hate
Lima
to say
says
this.
He's got buddy. When you have a buddy who posted something on his Instagram of him getting his refund back or something like that
for next year.
Like, you can't do it. Unless, the only way you can do it is like, all right, he's going to start the season, but we have a first-round draft pick behind him.
I mean, let's
That's
be
like
honest.
The only way you can do it.
Yeah, let's be honest about the situation too, Ken. The only reason for fans to go to Sunday's game is because of Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Like, right? I mean, yeah. That's really the only... I mean, they're 1-5. They're done. They're cooked. They are not coming back from that. The playoffs are gone. We never have to say that word concerning the Browns for the remainder of the year because it's just not realistic. Even if they win two of the next three or something like that, they are not making the playoffs this year. So they are not going to achieve their goal. And the reason they're not going to achieve their goal, they invested in the wrong guy. both as a human being and as a professional football player. And they asked their fans to make a moral compromise to root for this guy. And this is how he's rewarding them for that that contract, that investment, and that faith in him.
Go Guardians.
Go Guards, baby.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You have anything to take off of that tone when we come back? I think you do.
Yeah, I mean, just the locker room, I felt like it was teetering a week ago.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
How long would you go with Alex Cobb tonight?
Man, he went three innings last time we saw him. I'd feel really good if he could get past three. I would feel really good.
Up against Carlos Rodon.
Tonight. Yeah, in that situation, I mean, you know, they're underdogs tonight. They're obviously underdogs in the series. But I thought maybe there'd be a chance just because, you know, I think what Vegas is prioritizing here outside of, well, it's the Yankees, is that it is at home and the Yankees have had a little more rest. Obviously, we're coming off just an incredible emotional game. But, you know, the thing about that is we have to be focused and get off to a good start tonight because you've got Gerrit Cole, you know, waiting for you in game two, and you've got Bibee, but this one's another important one. You can't just say, well, we're looking to split, so tonight doesn't matter. No, tonight matters big time in this game.
Yeah, well, I
can't just be happy to be there.
No, but I mean, if I have to pick, it's like you want to win every game, but let's go with what is possible here. Like, your goal is to split. Is it not to split? Realistic goal is to split the first two games, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If I had to split, I want to win game two. The reason is because it's going to be against Gerrit Cole, and then I don't want them to lose and take the flight back. Like, you win game one, great! It's like, you still got a long series. If you win game one and then you just go get smoked tomorrow night by Gerrit Cole and he does Gerrit Cole things, then it's like, man, I got a plane ride back. You have Wednesday off. A lot of the conversation happens like, okay, are you really going to be able to do this? But if you win on Tuesday, then it's, hey, played right back, and we got to Gerrit Cole. We won this game. This would be huge.
Here's why I really want tonight. I want tonight badly because if you win tonight, you know, when we talk about all the pressures on the Yankees right now, do you know what that building is going to be like and the amount of pressing that happens? And if Aaron Judge struggles tonight and the off-speed stuff, the breaking ball stuff, and he is just swinging away and missing, and then the storyline gets bigger, and now the underdog Guardians, who nobody's giving a chance to win, and A-Rod and Jeter.
I mean, A-Rod farted in our general direction,
exactly, basically. But if you saw what happened to the Mets last night, right?
Yeah, like, they got smashed.
If that happens to you tonight, now I worry about the psyche of our guys in the big moments, how young of a team we are, so many guys like that. That stuff can really start to get to feed on itself and can be on your shoulders. That's the one thing I do worry about.
But I don't know. You obviously want to win all of them. I can understand where you're coming from there. But I also I might think, man, it's pretty easy to compartmentalize and go, man, it's not our night. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Tanner Bibee going tomorrow, and I think it'd be great. I just think about. The realistic thing you're trying to do is to get a split before you head back to Cleveland. And if you get that split, it's like, man, if you could do that against Gerrit Cole, it would be such a boost to this baseball team. And I think emotionally, like, I don't know how anybody could sit there and watch sports after this weekend and say, and I know you and I have had arguments about momentum. I don't know how anybody could watch sports and say momentum doesn't count or momentum isn't a big deal. After what we've witnessed this weekend with everything, I mean, momentum is just so big, and I think that if you were to win game two, so much momentum would be carried. Now, if you won game one and two, Lord Almighty, then I think the national conversation is the fall of the Yankees, Aaron Boone being in trouble. Now, that's put us in a precarious spot before, obviously, but I think that Brian Cashman being in trouble, the whole thing, the $309 million payroll, like it would lead everything if you were up 2-0 in that series. No, it would beat NFL conversations out there nationally if you were up 2-0 in this series. 216-474-0092. All right, if you got something to say about the Browns, fine, but you better start with the Guardians. Just letting everybody know the rules today. Tim and Menor. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Congratulations to the Cleveland Indians. This team reminds me of that 94-95 straight shortened season teams are starting to figure out that they have the potential to hit the long ball. That's what that team did back then. I think they're very comparable. As far as the Browns go, Kevin Stefanski's pathetic. Deshaun Watson's pathetic. And this is ultimately, unless Nick Chubb can run for like 300 yards a game, they're not going to win another game this year. Let's look. This ultimately comes down to the 2026 draft when they have the number one pick. It's not going to be next year. They're not going to take a quarterback next year because they have Deshaun Watson's contract. And if they cut him, it's a $150 million fine.
Yeah, they're but Tim, gonna, Tim, who can you afford, though? The only quarterback that you can afford that is going to give anybody any hope is a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, on a five-year first-round rookie deal.
Ken, they'll just roll. They'll just bench him and roll with one of the backups next year. They're not going to drop the quarterback next year.
No, I think you'll, if this continues, you'll see what you have in DTR this year.
Yeah. In 2026, they're going to have the number one pick, and it's ultimately going to be, we already know, it's going to be Arch Manning. He's coming to Cleveland. We're just measured a tank for
them. Let me tell you this, Tim, and thank you very much for the call. Like with the Guardians, obviously, I agree with you on. With the Browns, I can't agree with any of that. The only quarterback that's going to give them any inspiration, get fans inspired at all, they're taking a quarterback in 2025. They're taking one. You can record it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And Arch Manning, I know. Yeah, I know. The Manning family and the ownership here are close. I get all that. You know, he's still Archie's grandson. And everybody makes a big deal about Eli Manning. Why do you think Peyton Manning went back to Tennessee? The team that was going to draft him number one, he didn't want to play for. So he went back to Tennessee for his fifth year. Both Mannings have done this. So what you just, if they can't see this, like when people go, man, Vrabel's getting ready to be the head coach of the Browns. You think Vrabel sees any of this stuff right now and wants to be a part of this? So anybody who's in football who sees any of this, it's going to have a negative effect on what you want to do that's going to give you hope. So Arch Manning can be as close with him as he wants. We're talking about his future. We're talking about business. And if he comes out in 2026 and you do find yourself in that spot, don't think they're not above doing that. They'll do the same thing they did with Eli and technically the same thing they did with Peyton. So I'm not selling any of that. No. Coming up next, what's wild around the league? Zach Meisel, 9 o'clock.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Plenty of wild once again, although I think by and large yesterday, especially because we were locked in at 1 o'clock, we weren't able to really pay all that much attention to a bunch of the other games going on. I was really excited about the Commanders-Ravens game going in, but then couldn't really watch much of it because obviously we were dialed in. So we start out with
Lima's wild thing.
The NFC North. 13 straight wins by teams in the NFC North. Not only that, everybody is over 500. A collective 17-5. But the number to me that sticks out above all else in the NFL so far through the first 6 weeks of the season, all four teams with a positive point differential, but they have the top four point differentials in the entire NFL. How is that even possible? Ooh. Now, they've only played one game against each other, so I think that has something to do with it. But to get 6 weeks through the year and to have the Vikings have been unbelievable, the Lions, you saw what they did to Dallas yesterday, not to mention the Packers and the Chicago Bears with their rookie quarterback flying high offensively. How is this possible? Kenny, we thought, oh, the AFC North would be the toughest division in football. It's looked far from that so far this year.
No, it hasn't.
It's the NFC North that has been incredible. What's the biggest surprise of all the NFC North teams to you?
Has to be Jaden Daniels in Washington. Has to be. How much poise he's shown, how good they've been. You know, we had a question during the pregame show yesterday of, you know, what quarterback would you rather take? Would it still be Caleb Williams or would you rather have Jaden Daniels? And I didn't want to put Caleb Williams' situation in Chicago as a knock on him. But I also didn't want to put Jaden Daniels' situation in Washington as a knock on him. Jaden Daniels has much better coaching around him. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, you know what I think of him as a head coach and the Peter Principle, but he's very good at calling offense. And Dan Quinn is a very responsible leader of men. But over in Chicago, you have Matt Eberflus, and that thing's a mess. and they've given him all the weapons in the world, but they don't have an offensive line, and he's a rookie, and they put the weight of the world on his shoulders. So
Kalem had four touchdowns yesterday.
He was great
in the
win.
The dominating win over Jacksonville.
To do anything, he's doing the same type of stuff he had to do at USC, which is just take the game over. It's like you can't do that every week in the NFL. You can do that a little bit in the Pac-12, but it's hard to do. I'm just so impressed with Washington and the Jekyll and Hyde Dallas Cowboys.
All right, we move on. Speaking of Jacksonville.
Mitch's wild thing.
You guys mentioned it, that win for the Bears over the Jaguars out in London, 35-16, a game so poor for Jacksonville that not only did Doug Peterson talk about needing a culture change for the 1-5 Jags, but they had a safety, Andre Sisco, who even talked about his team's own effort after the contest.
I don't know, I just feel like it was, how should I say this? A lot of quit. You know, last line of defense, you know, in a situation like that, you could feel when we're playing as one and when we're not. Felt very early in the game. Things kind of, maybe at halftime, that we weren't playing as one.
I love it when a player is that honest.
That audio, by the way, courtesy of Action Sports Jax.
Business decisions. Boy, Jacksonville. So bad. Go ahead, Owen.
Owen's wild thing.
I'm sure everyone in Cleveland knows by now, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers scored 51 points yesterday. They have a quarterback named Baker Mayfield who threw for 325 yards, four touchdowns. I'm not going to talk about his three picks, but they did all that, and what's wild about it, they were evacuated on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They did not have their normal week. Apparently, that's what you need to get offense going. Hey, maybe we take them out of Berea this week, evacuate the Browns somewhere else. Let's get the offense humming here. 51 points in a game, that's college numbers from a guy who's one of the greatest college quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know they were going up against Spencer Rattler, who
was not one of the greatest college quarterbacks of the last decade.
All in all, he did throw two interceptions, but he was okay. This is incredible. This is incredible right now by Baker.
If you were a Bucs fan 2 years ago and they told you you're losing Tom Brady and you're getting Baker Mayfield, do you think you were ever feeling that scenario happens yesterday where they score 51 points?
No chance. How good can they be, though? Like, we put a ceiling on Baker and his talent and how far he could go. It's why he's no longer a Cleveland Brown.
NFC Championship.
Do we have to take off the ceiling?
NFC Championship game. That's as high as they fly. I don't think that they can be a Super Bowl team, but I don't know, looking around the NFC, which team do you want to give me? That's a juggernaut right now.
But, I mean,
give me a team.
The Vikings, the Lions.
Do you trust the Vikings? The Lions are great, but they just lost Aiden Hutchinson, which if Max Crosby really wants out, if I'm
the Packers,
not John Dorsey, Brad Holmes, if I'm jotting Brad Holmes, making a call to the Raiders.
And finally, Kenny?
Ken's wild thing.
Well, going right back to the quarterback. Well, yesterday was a taxing and good, bad quarterback play. Joe Flacco, 22 of 38, 189 yards. Wasn't great. But got it done when he needed to. He was the better bad quarterback because he's a savvy veteran. Because Will Levis, 16 of 27, 95 yards, and took out a ball boy. Collided on the sideline. The ball boy had to be carted off.
Oh, no.
It's weird to call him a ball boy since the ball boy is a grown man. Do we need to call ball boys something different? Should they be called ball men? Is that odd to do something like that?
I think if you emphasize it differently and call him ballman.
Ballman. I like ballman. The man's a grown man. You can't have ball boys when they're grown men. He's a man. He's not a boy. Either way, he was carted off. I think he had a torn ACL. Thanks to Will Levis. That's my one thing.
That was What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.